come into your homes to tell you of something that's happening in our country.
Steve-O and Teo in the AM present Shock Therapy Live.
I speak of the greatest offender of all.
Featuring Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Awesome. And now.
Here we go.
Email your questions now to studio@star98.fm.
Good morning.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Steve-O, Teo, and Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Dude, it's going to go down.
It really is. We're talking about the blimp, right? The Hindenburg?
The Hindenburg?
The year is 1903.
I think that already went down.
No, man. Prophecy.
It went down.
It went down.
Welcome to the show. We are here for you.
You guys want to just leave and go to Cabo?
Yeah. What?
Let's just go. Let's just get out of here.
Cabo San Lucas?
Yeah, that one.
Where's that?
Mexico.
Okay. My Espanol is not mucho grato, so.
What if we just got off Shock Therapy and went to Mexico?
Well, we can't now because we'd abandoned this phone call.
That's okay.
Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700.
That's okay.
You're going to feel like a jerk.
They probably want to come with us.
Discussion.
Let's ask them. Hey, okay. Do you guys want to come?
They wanted
Hold
to
on, I
tickets.
Want you to hear this again. It's the sound of pain coming from the human who's
the
answered.
Sound of broken
this
dreams.
This question will never be answered because you
it's
said...
It's the sound of babies crying because they
Cabo.
Miss their moms.
I think that's just a dying.
It's the sound of puppies dying.
Oh, gosh, it's depressing. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700.
Yeah, so far we don't have any new questions this week, but I'm sure some people will call in.
Well,
you can also post
yeah.
on our Facebook or email anonymously.
You know what I blame us not getting phone calls and questions on?
What?
Theology Thursday.
What?
Before Theology Thursday, Shock Therapy Live was off the hook.
Yeah.
We got tons and tons of phone calls, and then stupid Theology Thursday had to come in. It's like, well, now we want to ask questions to those guys. Stupid Theology Thursday.
It's a totally different show.
Or like, maybe. Pause.
You know what?
No.
When
maybe
I see Theology
speaks.
Thursday in the halls, I'm going to trip Theology Thursday.
You should. Oh, you're the
and
bully.
Punch it.
You are the bully.
Maybe it just speaks to how much good advice you guys have given out over the years. Maybe you've solved a lot of problems, and people just generally aren't dealing with as much right now because you guys
and
have
they've grown
them.
So much now
no.
they've moved on to theology.
Because people always suck.
You
so
face,
there's always more issues.
You face the conundrum of Iron Man versus Captain America.
Wow.
Because what are you doing?
Hey, you guys already had your time for that. Stop
right.
it.
Okay.
Not here.
Not
it
now.
Is Wednesday. Shock Therapy Live time.
Hey, we have another phone call.
We do. Phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700.
Oh, my gosh.
I think they called and did that on purpose.
Whoever you are calling and hanging up, God sees you
oh,
right
man.
Now. He's mad.
And he's going to raise the price of your variety.
Mad.
Welcome to radio. We can't
Dude.
Just, if we don't nah, immediately
I'm
going to
claim
you,
that one. Because
if you're on
I was
hold,
talking. That's my fault.
You know what?
This is beautiful.
This is why we need Doug.
Phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. It's Shock Therapy Live. If you're new to Star 88 or Shock Therapy Live, it's our 1 hour therapy session, if you will. Maybe you're going through something. Maybe you're just dealing with the cruds. Maybe life is just hammering you right now and you need some advice. You need some help. Or maybe you just don't know how to solve an issue in your heart, in your life. You want some,
Hey,
some
there's
victory.
A, wait, answer it right now.
Okay.
Answer it right now.
Man. Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
Hello?
Morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to
Where did he go?
I don't know. Are you talking? You're not talking to the
Willie. Stop eating. Stop eating the receiver.
No, we lost him. I hear him saying hello.
I'm here. You can't
oh, now okay, we hear you. Now we
you.
Hear you.
Oh shoot! No, I just y'all.
He's
what
messing
is
with
happening?
Us. He's yanking our chain.
This day.
Are you the mystery caller who hung up on us
my
twice?
My birthday.
No. I heard.
I am not doing anything.
I feel like
I
he's
promise.
Doing this. I feel like he's grabbing his phone and saying, no, I'm just... And he's making it think that it's us.
No. I just want to wish Matt a happy birthday. All I want to do is
yeah!
wish Matt a happy birthday.
Oh, there
Thanks,
you go.
Oh, okay, okay.
Heard that. Heard it.
That's
Heard
all
it.
I wanted to do. I don't like, y'all are great and all, like, happy show and whatnot. But happy birthday, Matt. That's what I want to do.
Thanks, buddy.
There you go.
Happy birthday, Teo.
I love you guys.
Love
Good
you
luck.
Too.
I hope people actually call in and tell you things, and it'll be good.
You're not, like, dealing with anything? What, can we pray for you first?
Sounds like y'all are dealing with
We're fishing for problems.
I mean, come on.
So you
man.
Mean it's like the prayer circle, unspoken. Well, you know, do you want to expound on that a little bit more? Like,
no.
You want to tell us about what that means?
We love you, man. Glad you're doing well.
Love you guys too. I love you guys. You know what? I'll throw something out there for you.
Okay.
All right. I'm curious. You know, we all got some busy lives when it comes to, like, juggling work and family. And some of y'all are hitched. Some of y'all got kiddos.
Yeah.
I'm not even there yet. That's woolly goals.
Amen.
But people always telling me, like, you need to strike a balance. You know, you got a job and you're going to school and all these things. Like, you should take more time to rest. You're like, well, if I take time to rest, I ain't going to get my homework done. And then I ain't going to get through seminary. And
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be homeless on the side. And you got to breathe, because that's balance. But I'm curious as to where that balance truly is defined. And if Scripture talks about that, because
balance of work and rest and
right. I mean,
okay.
We see Jesus on the precipice,
mm-hmm.
bleeding blood when he's got so much on his mind and his heart, and guys that he says, hey, leave everything you got and come follow me, and that's pretty extreme. There's not a whole lot of balance. I read into that, and
okay,
just kind of curious as to the theology. Maybe that's a better one for tomorrow, but, you know, maybe...
Stupid Theology Thursday.
but, you know, I think it's a fair question, because...
I'm going to put a dead fish really, in Brian
really
Nixon's
what
office.
What the Scripture teaches, and are we supposed to go that way? And it's Matt's birthday. So I love you guys. I'll
love you, too.
Hey, you guys have a good one.
You
bye,
too.
Buddy.
All right, so...
Did our second caller hang up on us?
Yeah. So the question then, we're all married, we all have kids.
I quit.
Balance, where is the balance with ministry, with family, with work, with rest, biblically speaking?
Well, I think biblically speaking, it would be the Sabbath day. You know, the Bible is very clear, and Jesus reaffirms it, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. And the Sabbath day is supposed to be a day of rest. And I've always kind of lived by this policy that while you're at work, work your butt off.
Yeah.
You know, while you're at work, don't be lazy, don't slack off. You know, don't be like calling your wife and like talking for an hour on the phone. Like,
yeah.
While you're at work, work,
yeah.
And do a good job and do it with excellence. While you're at home, relax, be with your family, pour into your family. For me, that's the dichotomy. Is I think a lot of people bring work home with them. A lot of people don't take that day off or that weekend off. They're working, you know, extra hours, and they're just pouring themselves into it. I think you need to have a balanced work week and a balanced life with your family and a relationship with your family.
Now, for someone in leadership, how difficult is that? Because as you know, for those, you know, that are salary, if you will, do you ever really turn off work? I mean,
I do. You know, especially for me, like if I'm on my day off, and I can kind of be a jerk on my day off. I'll be honest. I can get emails and I can get phone calls, and I'll simply reply. I'll say, this must be a really, really, really big issue to be emailing me on my day off or calling me on my day off.
Mm.
But I'm gonna ignore it until tomorrow.
It was one time, man. I don't know why you keep... I just wanted to go see Ant-Man. Gosh.
So you know, I think that it's really important to draw that line, especially
yeah,
for those that you work with, to let them know. And I think also draw that line for your family,
mm-hmm.
because I think you got to draw that line equally and let your family know, your wife know, look, I love you, but if I don't respond to you in the middle of the day, it's not because I don't love you, it's because I'm working, it's because I'm in a meeting. It's important to have that boundary line drawn for your family and also for your work. Let them know, look, when I'm at home. And your lack of planning doesn't elicit my, you know, taking my day off to work. So
yeah.
if it's your fault that something didn't get done yesterday, that's not my fault. And, you know, today I'm with my family, so you gotta hold on for a little bit.
Cool. I will say this, not to counter, on the flip side of that.
Hey, both of those people,
important.
Really quick, both of those people that have called, if
hang
you hang up,
line.
Bad things are going to happen today.
Oh my
Don't
gosh.
Hang up.
Stand
Phone lines are jammed.
Stand
so, yes, we definitely want to get to
we know you're there.
I will also say this, because I know people say quality time, not quantity, but I think it's both, because you can have that day. I was reading Pastor Levi Lesko's book, and he was talking about Family Day, how Friday it's like no cell phones, we got this one day, and I'm like, man, that sounds fantastic, because my family, we don't have that necessarily, the quote-unquote Family Day, where we just shut the world off, and it's just us, and now, of course, with school and baseball and life, it's just chaos. But you've got to cherish, like, dads, I'm telling you, you've got to cherish that time with your family. Yeah. As you were saying yesterday, I wanted to go pick up my son at school. He's in middle school now. It was day two. And, you know, Chrissy normally, she's right there. So she wanted to go. She was going to go pick him up. And I said, hey, let me go get him. And literally just picking him up at school. He was so excited to see me. We went to the comic shop after that, picked up the books for Comics Corner, and just spent, a solid 45-minute drive home, because it's on the other side of the world for me. But being able to have a real conversation one-on-one with my oldest was, not only was it great for him, I'm sure, it was great for me just to be able to spend that time with my child, because family time, especially in bigger families, I got three boys and a wife, and, you know, when we're all together, even, it can still, need to have that. I need to have date night with my wife. I need to have daddy dates with my boys individually. And,
totally.
And there's got to be that time. So, you just have to, like, pencil it in. It has to be important.
And I think it's about making those little moments count. You know what I mean? Like, for me, Wednesdays are a long day for me. I'm here in the morning and then here all the way till the end of service. And so I've got a break, about a 2-hour break partway through the day. And it's always daddy kid day. So I get to go pick up Katie, and I take Katie to Chick-fil-A and we eat together. And it's just her and I. And then I pick up Seth from school. And it's just, you know, a couple hour window, but it's a really fun, meaningful time that we get to hang out with.
If you're on your phone the whole time, if you're distracted, they'll notice that.
Yeah.
They will absolutely notice that. So I agree. Quality time.
I've been trying to make a conscious effort, even though he's a baby, to not have my phone in front of my face when I'm with Jay Danger.
Yeah.
Now with Dawn, I've got my phone in my face all the time. I don't even know what she's doing or what she's saying. It's out there in the ether. It sounds neat, but I don't know. But with the baby,
stop
it. Me and him.
But it's true. You really do.
You guys just stare at each other and drool.
Yeah. He drools, and then I counter drool.
Yeah.
And then he goes, ah, and you go, oh.
Yeah.
And he likes that.
Already called in and FaceTimed in happy birthday this morning. He's saying happy birthday. Cutest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Nate got to meet the baby the other day.
Oh, I did. Cool. Yeah. First time.
He's pretty adorable. One of the,
Smelts his feet.
Okay.
Baby feet smell good.
They do.
It's true.
If you could just bottle that, oh man.
Nice. Yeah, you could bottle that.
Not smelling his feet.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Thank you for being patient. Hello? I said thanks for being patient.
Are you on the phone line?
Hello?
Are you there? We're talking to you. We're
going
to hang up.
Go into the next phone line. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Yeah, I think it's cool that you guys are talking about this morning. I know, like, for me, it cost me my marriage because I didn't know how to balance the two. Not just the only reason, but, I mean, there was a lot of other issues there. But when it came down to, you know, root versus reason, it was... Or, you know, tell me, you know, well, you were never there. So it was kind of like, the way I felt was like, while I was, you know, building up a house of God, the devil was tearing mine down.
Yeah.
And I think it was a lot to do with it with, you know, me not understanding the priorities. So I think it's amazing that you're discussing this, because, you know, this is going to help so many people that are in ministry, that are thinking about becoming a part of ministry and trying to, you know, juggle a family around that. A lot of the time it sounds bad, but that's really what it is you, but to find the time and to prioritize the two is really hard.
Totally.
And I don't think enough people talk about it. But I did have a question, though, too, is, you know, now that I see, you know, my son, he's young, and he's only six, and he asks, well, why did this happen? You know, and I see how he's kind of like, well, but Dad, you know, Jesus doesn't like that, and, you know, Jesus doesn't like divorce. Why is Jesus letting this happen? And I guess for me, it's like I reiterate to him so many times, you know, this is not God's fault. This is not Jesus' fault. This is, you know, choice. This, I know it's hurtful and you don't understand right now, but it's choice. But I guess for him not to have a bad taste about everything, what's a better way to explain it to a six-year-old that mommy and daddy are getting back together and, you know, are divorcing.
Yeah.
I'm kind of, because it just breaks my heart every time, and I stay quiet sometimes. I have no answer for him.
Yeah, well, as far as how to navigate him through the divorce and how to navigate him through, what happened in your relationship, I want to talk about that in a second. But first, I want to hit on what you were talking about of him kind of wanting to project that onto God, or how could God let this happen, or, how to talk about that. I think it's very clear, not just to say that people make mistakes, but own up to your mistakes and say, you know what? Mommy and Daddy made a mistake. We made a bad decision, and God's not happy with it. God doesn't like it. It does hurt God's heart. But people can make choices. And I would refer to, your relationship with him in that. I would say, Mommy and Daddy love you. Mommy and Daddy love you very much. But at the same time, you disobey sometimes, don't you? Sometimes you do something you're not supposed to do. Now, Mommy and Daddy love you, but you're still allowed to make those choices, but you have to deal with the consequences. And you could use the same illustration with Jesus. Jesus loves us. Jesus cares about us. Yet we still have an option to make a free choice, and we have free will. Now, when we make those choices and those decisions, we have to deal with the consequences. And one of the consequences, unfortunately, is that you now have to grow up having mommy and daddies that live in separate homes, and that's not fair. Yeah. And so I think you need to be very, very clear, own up that it's not just people make mistakes, but that you made a mistake, that you and your wife, ex-wife, made a mistake in doing that. And then as far as how to navigate him through that, I think one huge thing, because the hardest part within divorce for kids, if you look at the studies and what kids deal with, it's not having the stability. And when they see mommy and daddy don't love each other anymore, the question comes up, can mommy and daddy not love me anymore? Mm. If you can fall out of love with your spouse, can you fall out of love with your child? And so I think one of the biggest things is to reaffirm your love and your care for them mutually. I think it's really, really important to not use the child as a weapon, because they can feel that kind of attention. But I think it's important to let him know that, even though you and your wife aren't married anymore, let him know, hey, do you know how much your mom loves you? And then it's also equally as important for her to do the same. Hey, do you know how much your dad loves you? And to show them that it's not like, do you know how much I love you? And, the reason we're in this situation is because of your mom. That's really unhealthy. It's important to reaffirm your mutual love for that child and let them know that that's never going to change, no matter how long the world goes on, no matter what happens, that's always constant.
I have a question, actually, because when you started your question, you're mentioning being divorced, but then you made a comment about going through the divorce process. So is this something you're currently going through this? Are you officially already divorced?
No, we're going through it, filing the papers. She wanted to file the papers and kind of just have everything agreement. It's just a matter of, making sure that everything, we both have custody.
Have you tried reconciliation? Have you gone through the process of meeting with the pastor? Have you, it is Shock Therapy Live, so I apologize if these seem too personal, but I just, when you said you weren't divorced yet or going through it, I always believe that God is a God of reconciliation and restoration. And so have you exhausted everything? Was there infidelity? Is there a biblical grounds for divorce even? Sorry, I'm asking a bunch of questions, but it's hard to see marriages fall apart, man.
Yeah, I think it was more so just the main thing was just, I mean, I don't know how to answer that pretty much.
Okay, that's okay. All right. You don't have to. I just wanted to see if there was a way, man, because
The reconciliation would be, I mean, I've tried to go through counsel. She's not really, really wanting. It's hard to be, I guess, in a marriage with someone who doesn't want to serve God anymore, or someone who didn't want to, or who didn't see the I guess it was kind of like, okay, well, if we're not the couple that's going downtown or having fun, I don't know. It was just, if the clubs aren't involved, I guess it's boring. And there's so many other things you can do. But it was, again, I think it was just, when two people are hardly seeing each other because of work and then ministry, and then, when they do see each other, all they do is, they argue. It kind of seems like, oh, well, things are petty. But then when you get to the root of why you know, the other person does not want to be a part of God and everything, or to be a part of anything. You know, it's just you make your decision and then you become unequally yoked, and then there you go, you have it. It's just everything unfolds.
Okay.
And so to me, I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, you're really just circling around and not saying just because of, you know, it being broadcasted. But right. Other than that, I mean, it's just the main thing is just I don't understand as far as, you know, I never have that door shut to reconciliation ever. Okay. I do know, though, there comes a point where I think you really do have to let go and heal from the situation, though, because I don't think two broken people are going to create a marriage. You know, mm-hmm. I don't think. How can you have that? I mean, how can it work?
Well, I've seen it work.
I was going to say, yeah. I feel like that's all of us, though.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the basic mindset, you know, of going into a marriage. I think that you've got to get to a place of brokenness in order to actually love another person. If you're not a broken person, you're not going to love another person because you're always going to make selfish decisions. And I think every couple hits that place at some point in their marriage where it's like, you know what, this is really hard. And I think what really makes the difference between couples that last and meaningful relationships is when they say, you know, this is hard, but I'm willing to put in the work. And I'm not going to throw in the towel. And I think that's the biggest difference between marriages that work and marriages that don't. And you know, I think those people that are quick to say, you know, this is really hard, and it gets to the point where I just need to bow out and stop trying. I think those are the people that are going to have multiple divorces over the course of their life, because they're going to hit a point in every marriage where it's hard, and they've got to make that decision. You know what? Should I just, you know, take the easy way out? Or should I work really hard, you know, through blood, sweat, and tears to make this work? I know my wife and I hit a point like that where it was like, you know what? The easy thing here is to call it quits. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the difficult decision, the hard road is to make it work. And you know, I look back like, you know, I believe every couple who truly puts in the work to get through that, and I'm so glad that I did because, you know, you get to a place where you look at your marriage now and you say, man, I never in a million years could have imagined that my relationship looked like it does today, because there was a time, you know, years ago where we were both so embittered, so hardened, so, you know, just in our own bubbles of sin that there seemed like there was no hope. And so I think that it's always easy to quit. It's really, really hard to persevere, and it's really hard to push.
On that, I want to encourage you because I had a very dear friend of mine who served faithfully in ministry for a long time, and his wife walked away. This kind of sounds like your situation. His wife walked away from the Lord, completely disavowed God, and it was really, really difficult for him because he saw his wife walk away. There was abandonment. They did get a divorce, and it was so hard for him to serve in ministry after that, because without realizing it, he kind of put the blame on God, because it was like, Lord, I've been serving you faithfully for so long. What's up, bro? You know? And, unfortunately he allowed that to overtake him, and he ended up walking away from the faith. And, it was one of the more heartbreaking things I had seen. So I can hear your brokenness, and I can hear your, longing for reconciliation and restoration, and without, you know, you having to say anything, I can kind of get the gist of the story. But I just want to encourage you that God loves you, and this as we were talking about the way you speak to your son, I want to speak to you and say that this is not God's fault, that human beings do make decisions, and if it was spousal abandonment, that's not on the Lord, that is on the human being who chose to walk away. And I want to encourage you to continue to walk in the faith and to serve the Lord faithfully, and don't give up the fight.
And I would, you know, if Steve-O is going to encourage you, I would implore you, because it sounds to me like she might be the one walking away from the Lord and pulling, but you're kind of giving into it at this point. And I really believe that it is the man's responsibility within this kind of a relationship to not give up. Again, I look at Christ's relationship with us, and you know, the Bible compares marriage, and it talks about a groom as Christ within the relationship. And I just think about in the relationship with Christ, how often human beings walk away, how often human beings take the wrong direction, the wrong road, and God doesn't give up on us. God doesn't throw in the towel and say, you know, well, you're going a different direction than I am, and so this relationship's over. You know, he pursues us, relentlessly pursues us. And so I would just tell you, if there's nothing you can do to stop the divorce, then you know what? Then I just pray that God's grace would be upon you and you get through this with peace. But if there is something you can do, if you can drag your feet, if you can say, no, this isn't right, if you can tell her, you know what, I made mistakes, but I'm willing to put in the effort to make this relationship work. If there's something you can do to stop it from happening, then do it.
Yeah.
If there's nothing you can do and your hands are tied and you're like, you know what, there's nothing I can do at this point, you know, it's going to happen whether I drag my feet or not, whether I want it to or not. But if it is something that you can do, then do it and stop it from happening, and be the Christ in the relationship and love her with a Christ-like love and pursue her despite the fact that she might be walking into sin. Pursue her despite the fact that she might want to go to clubs, you know, every Friday night. Pursue her because Christ pursued us when we were in the same place.
Does that
help?
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for the call.
Yeah, man.
All right. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. Let's go out to line one. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. So I might have to wait for the podcast to get my answer because I'm at work.
Okay.
But I've got some friends that are going through an issue. And they've really become like a brother and sister to me, so I've been trying to help them out. But the husband is having an issue with pornography. So much so that his wife has said that, you know, if she catches him again, she's taking the baby and leaving. They're, you know, she's done. She's going for a divorce. In trying to help them, I've tried to show them the triple decks church app, but it kind of, I don't know, she treated it like something like, oh, well, now I can catch him and get him red-handed. And I kind of stopped at that point because I didn't see it as that's what that tool was for. I don't know if you guys have ever read the book Your Brain on Pornography, but it goes into the chemical aspects of it and how it's more of an addiction and that it needs to be treated as such. And so I felt like, you know, using it as a tool to just sort of catch someone in the act was the wrong way to go about it, and that it really needed to be treated more as like an addiction. And that, you know, her and my wife are kind of the mind of there is no excuse for pornography, and yes, there isn't, but there's grace there. Mm. And you know, it's sort of a long road to recovery, so I'm kind of in a situation, you know, do I just need to, as a friend, maybe just step back and let them figure it out, or what more can I do to help them in this situation, you know, as a friend,
I think,
kind of get them through this?
I think a couple things. I think, one, you can be there as a positive influence, as an accountability person.
Mm-hmm.
But number two, I think you can give God the advice for what their next steps should be. I think they really need to sit down and talk to a pastor and get some quality marriage counseling for their relationship and for what's going on. And I think they're at a place where there needs to be complete honesty and transparency from him, and there needs to be acceptance and love from her. Honesty and transparency from him, he's got to admit that it is an addiction. He's got to admit, and he's got to come to terms where he realizes, you know what, this isn't just something that I can tell myself I'm going to stop doing. Because that's the biggest issue with pornography or drugs or, you know, alcoholism or any of those vices,
sin,
those life-altering. But, you know, I think there's a difference between, like, you know, cheating on your taxes,
yeah,
and being stuck in a life-altering sin. You know, we all make mistakes every day, but there are those life-gripping sins.
That's very true.
Pornography, you know, sexual addiction.
Yeah.
When I'm talking about not just, you know, I had sex with my girlfriend, but sexual addiction, drugs, alcohol. These are certain vices that people get caught into, and it's a life-altering sin. Now, when you're stuck in that, the only way to get out of that isn't to say, okay, man, I did it, and you feel so bad, and you feel the condemnation, and Satan points the finger at you, and you feel terrible. people, and then you say, that was so bad, I'm never going to do it again. I promise I'm not going to do it again. But you're never really coming to a place of transparency and honesty, recognizing, man, I am addicted to pornography. It is controlling my life. And I think when you come to that place, that realization, you're willing to do anything that you have to stop doing it. And I've talked to people before, you know, I've counseled high school kids who've come to my office and they said, you know what, I'm addicted to pornography. And I say, okay, then get rid of your computer. They say, well, I can't do that.
Right.
Okay, well, you're not at a place where you realize I'm going to do anything I can to stop doing this. Yeah, it might really suck to get rid of your computer. Yeah, you might have to go to the library to do your homework. You might have to really alter your life in order to make that accommodation. But is it important enough to you to get rid of that sin within your life in order to do so? If it's not, it shows that it really is an addiction, that you're like, man, I'm addicted in it because I say I want to change, but I'm not willing to do the steps, what is necessary in order to have that change facilitated within my life. So I think honesty and transparency from him, recognizing that's a big issue. I think he needs accountability within that as well, not from his wife, but from men. He needs accountability from a couple guys in his life for Triple X Church, that they can get reports, that he can be honest with, that he doesn't have to feel like, man, if I tell this guy that I just struggle with pornography, my wife's going to leave me. He's not going to be honest with his wife as long as he feels like, okay, if I mess up one more time, she's going to leave with the baby. He's going to continue to hide it. He's going to continue to, play the cloak and dagger game. And so I think that he needs to have accountability with another male who can keep him accountable. And then from her aspect, I said she needs to have love and acceptance. I think she's got to understand, you know what, he is going to take the steps necessary. We're going to see a pastor for counseling. He's going to have accountability partners in his life. He's going to take the steps necessary to stop it. And also, I would say the steps necessary for me to feel comfortable. So if what she needs to feel comfortable at home is for the computer not to be there, then he's got to do that. If what she needs to feel comfortable is for him not to have an iPhone, but have, a Nokia, pin pad dial phone, then that's what he needs to do. Whatever he needs to do to make her feel comfortable, he needs to do that. But then she needs to have love and acceptance and recognize, just like him, that it's an addiction and that he's going to try really hard, but a month from now he might fall. He might slip into it. He might struggle. And if that happens, instead of saying, okay, that was the last time, I'm out of here, she needs to, instead of that, come alongside him and lovingly help restore him and recognize, man, what happened? Explain to me why you did it, and have, a rational conversation with him of love and acceptance. Because again, it is an addiction and he is addicted to it. And God can immediately deliver somebody from it, just like he can from drugs, but it's not the norm. It's not typical. It usually is a process that you need to work through and have true accountability and be willing to do what's necessary to get rid of that.
Does that help you out?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, man. Thanks for the call.
All right. A good one.
You too. It's Shock Therapy Live with Pastor Nate Heitzig. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. You can also chime in anonymously. If you'd like to stay anonymous, we can take your emails. studio@star88.fm. That's studio@star88.fm. We promise to respect your privacy.
Mm-hmm.
We will not give out your name if that's the way you want to roll. Let's go out to line two. Shock Therapy Live. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
You're on. We can hear you.
Is it me?
Yes, it's you.
Totally you.
I'm sorry. I didn't know which one it was.
Oh, no problem.
I have a question on how to deal with
Did we lose you?
No. It's just, it's very difficult for me to speak about this. I've been with my man for over 35 years. We have a 35-year-old daughter. He has been cheating on me for many, many years. Finally found out about it. And he keeps saying that they're friends. His job is in construction. Therefore, he has to deal with a lot of people. And he chooses to deal with single women. He works on their homes. does whatever he has to do. But mostly his clients are single women. And so to him, he's not doing anything wrong. He falls into a relationship. He's saying it's just friendship. Mm-hmm. But if there's a friendship, I would think that his friends should be my friends. And it's not. You know, his friends are never my friends. anytime they see us together, the women they're aggressive towards me. One of them tried to run me over with a car. The other one hit me with a bat. And I tried to ask him, so why would they do that if they are just your friends? And they're trying to do something like that to me. So my question is, because I doubt that he's ever going to change, so should I just walk away from him?
I think before you walk away, you need to exhaust every effort to seek restoration. And what I think that looks like is, I think, you know, letting him know, because again, he's denying it, that he's having an affair. You believe he is. You think there's issues within that, is to let him know, look, we've been married for 35 years, and whether you have had an affair or not, I'm at a place where I feel like we need counseling. We need to speak to a third party about what's going on in our relationship, and say, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm not. I don't know. But I feel like at this point, I need to see a counselor, and I need you to come with me. Say it's not an indictment of whether you did or not. It's just recognizing that I am at a place in our marriage where I feel like we need counseling. We need to seek biblical, godly advice for what's going on within our lives right now. And if he pushes back at that, say, look, if you love me and if you truly, you know, care about me, this is something that I think we need to do. And for me, this is just something that in my life I need right now. I think apart from that, I think that there's things in that counseling that can get fleshed out, but I think in every relationship, there are parameters and boundaries. I think that, you know, I know that some couples say, you know, I don't want you to have, I know early on in Janae and I's relationship, Janae was very much a tomboy. And so she naturally had a lot of guy friends when she was in high school and when she was in college. And then the same happened within, when we first started dating and getting married, she would have guys that were friends. And I told her, I said, look, I love you and I trust you, but for me, I can't have you having guy friends. And she respected that. And to this day, she doesn't have guy friends that she talks to or goes and hangs out with on her own. Not because there's anything wrong with that, but because there were parameters and boundaries that we set up, rules within our relationship, she just recognized, look, if my husband feels uncomfortable with that, then I'm going to honor that. Is his rationale and his thinking right or sane? Maybe not, but I'm going to honor him because he's asked me to do that. And so I think in any relationship, there's got to be give and take, and there's got to be parameters and boundaries. And I think that's something that you guys probably need to set up within your relationship. But I don't think being married for 35 years, that's going to be something that you're going to be able to do on your own. I think that's going to be something you're going to need counselors to help you do that. And so that's why I would say, I would talk to him and say, again, this isn't an indictment on your character. You say you haven't done it. And so, as your wife of 35 years, I'm going to honor you and trust that. That if you say nothing happened, I'm going to honor that. I'm going to trust that. But regardless if anything happened or not, I'm at a place where I need to work out what I'm feeling. I need to work out what's going on in my life with a counselor, and I need you there with me to do that.
Yeah.
And that's what I would tell him.
Does that help?
Because he's a liar. He's a compulsive liar, so I know he's going to continue to lie. He might go. He will not deny me that privilege, and he will go. But he also is going to lie to anybody that, you know, he'll speak.
Well, this is the thing with counseling, though. Counselors are very used to being lied to, and they can spot it really, really well. And if you guys start going to counseling and you're consistent with it for a couple months, he'll get caught in those lies. He'll get caught in those half-truths. He'll get caught in those misleadings. And then the counselor will call him out on that. And it's a lot better for the counselor to call him out on that than it is for you to call him out on that. Mm-hmm. And so that's what you're looking for. A counselor, more than anything, is a trained, intermediate source. They're a trained intercessor. And that's really what they're there for, is to hear both of you talk, to call you out on the things that you might be looking at improperly, to call him out on the things that he's not looking at improperly. And it's a chance for you to just say, look, this is what's happened. This is what he has these girls who I believe he's having an affair with. One of them tried to run me over. One of them hit me with the bat. You can explain the whole story, everything that's happened over the past 35 years of your marriage. He can do the same. And then the counselor can say, look, this is what I think. And the counselor can then begin to interject. And you guys can just start to live your life, per se, in front of this counselor, this third party. And they can begin to decipher, what is true, what is not true, and help you guys work through that. And so it will be a painful time. It will be a time where, you're really having to work through how you feel, what you've seen, and getting to a place where, the counselor can really help you guys deal and work through that. Now, if going through that, if you guys are persistent within that, if you guys really commit yourself to going to a counselor for that prolonged period of time and things don't work out, if you do catch him in adultery, biblically, do you have grounds for divorce? Yes. But that's why I say, before you go to that DEFCON 5, do everything in your power to find restoration. Once you've done everything in your power to do restoration, then if an affair, if adultery is found out as true, as fact, then divorce is permissible.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And just one more note. When you're finding a counselor, I would really recommend finding a licensed biblical counselor. Mm-hmm. There's a few in town that I know of. If you call the church, Calvary Albuquerque, and you ask for a list of licensed counselors, we've got a great list of licensed Christian counselors that we can refer you to. But I think it's really important to go see a licensed biblical counselor, because they're really trained in this. They really are trained to spot, lies and spot, issues within a relationship far beyond even what just a biblical counselor could do. A licensed biblical counselor is really going to help you with that.
The phone number is 344-0880. Does that help?
0880?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling in. It is Shock Therapy Live. The phone lines are open now. 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700.
Dude,
what happened?
That's tough.
That was serious stuff.
It has been a heavy day, man.
Heavy. Happy birthday.
But that's... It's
happy
Mateo's birthday.
Birthday.
Yeah. No, dude. That's about
birthday.
Right. That's about right.
People dying everywhere. Pain and sadness in the air.
Boom.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Gosh.
Now you've aged another year. Now you know that death is near.
Wow.
Happy birthday.
It's just sad, man.
I feel good about it.
I feel good about it.
That's good. Phone lines are open.
Well, hey, on a plus, you're probably more in shape the older you've gotten
That's
than you've
true.
Ever been in your entire
Most
life.
Most in shape I've ever been.
Yeah. That's good.
Huh?
Yep.
Gosh.
Like, people said your peak was in your 20s.
That's all I got.
They lied.
They did lie.
They lied.
Matt, how old are you?
32.
32.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, I'll officially be in the 30s.
Oh, nice. Man.
I feel good, though. Yesterday, the new receptionist over there.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Charlie.
Yes, Charlie. She said she's British, so she's like, how old are you?
She does not sound
That's
like that
exactly
at all.
How she
I'm
sounds.
I'm British. Yeah. I'm Charlie.
And I said, guess. And so she guessed, and she guessed 26.
She's a Cockney boxer, yeah. By
yeah.
the way.
Yes. She guessed 26, and I was like, 32, and she couldn't believe it.
She was like, oh, crikey!
And then I said, guess Steve-O's age, and she said 44.
Oh, she
nah,
did
just
not say that.
She
at
didn't.
All.
She said 46.
Gosh,
I was trying to help you. I was trying to help.
Okay. It is Shock Therapy Live. Phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. And we are here. We got about 10 minutes left to show. Pastor Nate Heitzig hanging out. And if you want to ask questions about comics, we'll take those too.
Nope, we won't do that.
Or the most serious situations you can imagine.
Just anything, really. Man.
We don't have any Facebook posts, no emails.
You know, here's a good reminder, though. For those in leadership and ministry, we constantly need to be praying for those in leadership. I had a great conversation with a friend last night about that very thing, how, you know, we don't really see what pastors go through on a daily basis. We do this for an hour a week, you and I, Teo. You do counseling, and you deal with these things, and for the pastors that, I mean, day in and day out meet with families and see the effects of sin on families or on individuals, it's pretty heavy, you know, and it can weigh you down. And so it's yet another reason why we have to be praying for those in leadership, those in ministry on a regular basis, because it can deflate you if you allow it to. If you're not on guard, if you're not constantly grounded to God's word and staring at his face, man, then sometimes these situations can seem overwhelming, even just from an outside perspective. So
very much. Yeah, solid, very, very true.
Solid reminder. But thanks to everybody who has chimed in so far, and for those who are honest enough to come forward and say, hey, man, this is what I'm dealing with in my life, or this is where I need help, because it means a lot.
So, yep.
505-338-3700, the phone number, or, of course, facebook.com/star88FM. That's facebook.com/star88FM. You can also email in. studio@star88.fm.
You know, here's an interesting topic. We probably don't have time to really delve into it, but have you guys, you know, been following the news and the whole Hillsong New York City thing and the couple that came out?
I saw something about that.
Yeah, the choir.
Dude, yeah. What do you guys think about that?
Well, they're in the choir, so was it real? I'm just kidding.
Oh, I mean, personally am up in arms about the situation because it is relentless.
Yes,
I feel like we are separated by oceans, and I don't even know any more song titles.
Whole song jokes.
Touch the sky.
Yeah. Nope.
That was just like you just threw it in there. It didn't have a context. Just like, I can't touch the sky.
There's a context. But I don't know how to speak into that situation.
Is better than like, touch this guy.
We play, okay, well, there you go. We play, you know, their music because it's good music.
Yeah.
I'm honestly, the most I've thought about it is I'm really surprised we haven't gotten any emails about it.
Right. Not a single person chimed in or commented on that. Yeah. We should get to that on Theology Thursday. That's really like the big show where we discuss
stupid Theology Thursday.
Let's go to the phone lines. 505-338-3700.
You guys are going to get an email next week. Hey, guys, I just really think we should stop doing Theology Thursday.
Man, welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
Hi.
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 So I was basically calling because I kind of need some advice. Okay. I go to a small ministry called Koinonia, and lately we've been talking a whole lot about sin and how it reflects in our lives and how repentance is key to salvation. And, well, basically what's going on is asking a whole lot about to just be aware of my sin, for God to show me my sin. And my life has changed quite a bit. I've come from a really rough background. Younger, I lived a very mature life, to say the least. And now I feel like I've cleansed my life of a lot of sin. And the one thing that I'm really holding on to is my relationship with the others. But we're not married, and we are expecting a baby. And that has just really been bearing down on my heart. I don't know what to do about it. And I'm constantly wondering if that's God's way of telling us we're not equally yoked and he doesn't want us to be together, and if I need to stop seeing him, if it's going to work out at some point. I feel conflicted by the situation. I'm not.
I
think we just lost you.
Are you still there?
Hello?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry. It cut out.
Let me ask you a question first. Is this guy that you're in a relationship with, is he a believer? Does he claim to be a believer?
Yes.
Okay.
Does.
Well, that's good. I think that sin always has consequences. And I think, you know, obviously with your sin, you guys had sex before marriage, and the consequence is that now you're pregnant before marriage. And I think that a lot of times as human beings, when we begin to sin, we think that if we continue to find, like, sin our way out of it, that it's going to get better. But I think at some point when we're caught in a lifestyle of sin, we've got to say, you know what, up to this point I made bad decisions, but I'm going to make good decisions from here on out. In your situation, the right thing to do, the thing that is honoring to God, God would be to get married, would be to say, you know what, we made a big mistake. We made a big, we had some big sin in our life. But the right thing to do is to get married to one another. We're both professing believers in Jesus Christ. So if you were to get married, you would not be unequally yoked. Right now, you're not unequally yoked. Right now, you're just sinning. You're just in a relationship of sin. And the way to get out of that is to marry one another because of what you have done up to this point. So that is the right thing to do, would be to say, you know what, we're going to get married to each other. Now, if you go to this guy and tell him, hey, I think we need to get married, you know, what we've done is a sin, what we've done is bad, and he says, no way, I'm not going to get married, then he's really showing you his true colors, and then you have a chance to say, well, you know, what you're saying by that is that you care more about how you feel than how the Bible feels and what the Bible says. At that point, I think it would show his true heart and his true colors, and at that point, if he refuses to do that, I would say that you're unequally yoked, and I would say that at that point, you should leave him. You should not continue to be in a relationship with him. And you should do the right thing at that point, and try to raise your child in a home, even if it's a single parent home, that loves Jesus Christ. And in the meantime, you can pray that God would speak to him and change his heart, and that he would come back to you and say, you know what, I thought about it, you're right, we should get married, let's do this right. If that's the case and that happens, then I think that that's okay, and that you guys should get married. But again, the right thing to do would be to get married. If he's not willing to marry you, then the right thing for you to do would be to seek to please the Lord and love the Lord and leave him. We had a girl that called in when we first started Shock Therapy Live that was in the same situation that you're in, except that the guy that she was dating did not profess to be a believer. He was a non-believer. And actually what happened is they lived together. They had a baby together. So the baby was already born. She got saved. They weren't married. She realized that they were in an ungodly relationship. She tried to confront him on it. He said, well, you know, I'm going to continue to live my life the way I did. She took a step of faith and said, well, I'm going to follow what the Lord asked me to do. And she stopped being in this relationship with him. She moved out of his house. She didn't have a job, but God honored that, and God did some incredible things in her life. And she sent us a really cool letter talking about what God had done in her life through honoring the Lord and doing what is right. So I think that's really important that, you know, when we honor God, when we honor his word, his precepts, God honors us. And I think God gives us the faith and God gives us what we need to get through those situations as long as we do what is right. And so that would be the recommendation and the advice that I would give.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Have you guys had a discussion at all about this? I mean, I'm assuming he's aware that you guys are expecting.
Yes. Yeah. No, he's aware. I'm pretty far along.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
We're expecting her to be arriving here pretty soon, and he's kind of a new believer at first. This is kind of we've been in a relationship for a while. It's had its ups and downs, and before I wouldn't even be able to talk to him about that, and I've always just kind of prayed about, you know, God reaching out to him, God speaking to him, God helping him about anger, anything that's just blocking his heart to reach him. And over time, he's just become more willing to talk about it. And now I think he's not at the peak of his beliefs, but it's just been amazing. And like the last year's improvements God has done in his life with just their personal relationship. Now talking about us moving into that step of like moving forward and getting married, we've talked about that too. And yeah. That's all I could really say about that.
And that's why you're calling Shock Therapy Live.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
You know, I think one thing, you know, to think about then as well is seeing because of that, if you've had that conversation, didn't go well, telling him that you think that you guys should go talk to a counselor as well. I know we've recommended that to a lot of people today, but it really is extremely important when you're working through some heavy issues like that, because as much good advice as we can give you on the phone, when you have a couple sit down together and you can talk to them both together and work through it together, is so much more effective. And so you could even approach from the standpoint of, you know what, we're about to have a baby, and that's a huge responsibility. Mm-hmm. Before we do that, before this baby is born, before our lives, you know, take a huge turn and become a lot different than what we thought it would be, I think we need to see a counselor about our relationship, about child rearing. And I think that that'd be an important thing to do, to help you guys get through that. But again, I think that God always honors us when we follow his word, when we follow his commandments. And, you know, the Bible is very clear. It says, you know, when we get saved, should we keep on sinning? No. You know, we need to turn from that sin. And so, you know, you guys were in a sinful relationship. You guys hopefully recognized that you were in a sinful relationship, but you got pregnant. And so it's not like you can just say, hey, we're going to stop the relationship. Well, you got pregnant, so that changes things. So at that point, the right thing to do is to get married. And so the question is, you know what? Do we want to have this baby be born into sin? Because, you know, it's a baby is born sinful anyways. Human beings are born sinful. But do you want to start the life of that child off by it being born into a relationship where you guys aren't married and you guys are in a relationship living in sin? You know, I tell the same thing to couples when they're talking about getting married but they're not abstinent. It's like, well, do you want to start your relationship off in sin? Because that's not a good place to start your relationship off.
Yeah.
And so I think the same is true for, you know, the birth of this child. I think you guys need to do what's right and start a family in a godly way and start a family off not in sin, but start a family off in righteousness, and God will honor that.
I hope that helps. We are totally out of time. I apologize, but thank you so much for calling in, and thanks to everybody who called in today. Packed show.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
Good times.
The long and short of it is everybody needs therapy. All right. If you missed any part of the show, make sure you check out the podcast, star88.fm/shocktherapylive. All right, we are out tomorrow, of course, Third World Thursday. Going to focus in on Faith Comes by Hearing, my favorite hour of the day.
Wait, is it Third World Thursday or Theology Thursday?
Both, man. We do both. It's both just it's the most ministerial day ever.
I really think I really think Third World Thursday should be our direction. Yeah. That should be. Actually, I think Third World Thursday should really be our focus. I feel like a double-minded man is of no use to either. And so I think that, you know, I think we got to choose one. And I really think God wants us to reach out to widows and orphans.
I agree.
Reach out to the lost.
You know where I learned that? Theology
more.
Thursday, because it's in the Bible, and that's when we talk about Bible stuff. Theology Thursday, man. Catch it every Thursday, 9 a.m. It's the best.
Stupid Theology Thursday.
We're out. We leave you with some Mumford & Sons. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Skillet. We gave away tickets this morning.
We did.
All the details, information at facebook.com/star88fm. Until mañana. Steve Onteo on the AM.
Goodbye.
Bye.